fourth chapter. Hebrews, the fourth chapter, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I want us to especially tonight notice verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's bow our heads, please, and ask God to bless His word to our hearts. Father, we thank You tonight for Your word, and thank You for everything it means to us. It's a lamp under our feet and a light into our pathway. And Lord, I pray You'd bless us as we look in to the things of, as we find in God's word tonight, the things of the Lord. And I pray You'd speak to our hearts and challenge us and build us up. And then, Lord, meet needs here tonight. In this crowd like this, Lord, there's needs and burdens and problems, and only the Lord can help. Lord, would you undergird people tonight and strengthen them, and may be, burdens be lifted here tonight. Pray for our boys and girls over in the WANA program. God, just bless them over there. May they have, Lord, these biblical and character traits and instilled within them, and Lord, that it'll help them from now on into eternity. And Lord, bless our church. Keep us true to You. Keep the devil out. Keep us faithful to You, winning souls and knocking on doors and trying to be have an impact on this area for Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, anoint me as I preach Your word tonight. And Lord, just defeat the devil and give me liberty. And may Christ be exalted in this service. May He get the glory. And we'll thank You for it. Lord, bless us this coming Lord's Day. We pray for our faith promise that You'd continue, Lord, to lead people in this matter of faith promise giving for the next Sunday or two. We'll thank You for all You're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, one of the greatest scandals in the church of the living God is not immorality, though certainly a church that experiences immorality among its membership or member pastors or staff members fall into immorality. It is certainly a blot on a church, and it takes a church years to get over, sometimes a generation to get over immorality in a church. That's bad. Stealing the tithe is also a bad thing in a church. We ought to be faithful in giving the tithe, and the Bible says the offering. The Lord said, "You've robbed me." You say, "Wherein have you robbed me?" And God said, "In tithes," but He didn't stop at the tithe. He said in offerings. That's where faith promise comes in, see. And if we don't give the tithe, if we don't give the offering, God says we rob it. We steal from Him. And then unfaithfulness is another, is not the greatest scandal in the church, though it is this church. Where are all the members of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church tonight? What's more important than coming out to God's house on Wednesday night? But now, on and on, we could go with things that are wrong with the church and problems and sins in the church. But I don't think that there's a greater scandal in the church than that of prayerlessness. Prayerlessness. No church can have power without prayer, and no Christian can have power without prayer. As the song says, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." And all of my life, I've heard people speak of coming to a throne of grace, haven't you? You've heard that all your life. And that just means to coming into God's presence in prayer. And I want us just to think for a few minutes tonight and get our thoughts on the throne of grace. The throne of grace. First of all, let's look at that word throne. Now, God is our Father if we've been saved, if we've been born again. But when we think of it in the terms of coming to a throne, and He is our Father, and that's sweet now, but when we think of coming to Him on His throne, we come to Him then as a king. We come into His presence on the throne as we would come into the presence of the great monarch of the universe. When we come to Him in prayer, folks, He is the great monarch of the universe. And so it's a throne of grace. And as we come to the court of heaven in prayer and appear before the throne, we need to come in the right attitude. What kind of attitude should we have as we approach this throne of grace? Now, when we pray and turn our face toward God and toward our souls toward God and toward the throne of grace in prayer, what kind of attitude should we have? Let's just think of that. First of all, it ought to be an attitude of humble adoration. When a subject comes into the presence of a king, what does he do? He gives him all due respect. And when we come into the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we need to approach Him with reverence. We need to approach Him with respect and even prostrate ourselves in the dust before Him. When Moses came into the presence of God, he turned aside to see that bush. And when he got over there, God said, "Moses, take your shoes off because you're on holy ground." And folks, it's holy ground when we come into God's presence. Jesus said when we pray, we ought to say, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be, holy be thy name." The song, that great song, "How Great Thou Art," says, "Then sings my soul, my Savior, God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art." So when we come into His presence, we ought to come with humble adoration. And then we ought to come into His presence with joyful appreciation. As we approach the throne of grace in prayer, we should be filled with thankfulness that we're permitted to come before the Lord. Now, He doesn't have to let us come into His presence. Now, Brother Sandy, you asked prayer. Now, the Lord doesn't have to let us come into His presence. But the Bible says the prayer of the upright is His delight. He delights in our coming into His presence. He could banish us forever, folks. God could banish us forever because of our wicked sin. But we who are saved are permitted to come right on into His presence. Now, isn't that a wonderful truth? How thankful we should be for the place of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. Then we ought to come into His presence with complete submission. Now, you don't walk into the court of a king and just walk right in and chewing your chewing gum and telling him what you want. Now, you can seek favors from a king, but you don't order a king to do anything. He might order your head to roll if you're not careful. But when we come to the throne in prayer, we ought not go and try to dictate to God. But Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And so we ought to be come into His presence, come in before the throne of God, into the presence of God in complete submission to God, to His will. And when Jesus was facing the cross, as He knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed in agony, and the Bible says He sweat as it were great drops of blood. And what did Jesus say? He said, "Father, if Thou be willing, if thou be willing, remove this cup, the cup that faced him, the cup of suffering, the cup that would God would turn his back on Jesus, and the cup that all the sins of the world would be heaped on Jesus. And Jesus said, Father, if it be your will, if thou wilt, remove this cup from me. But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now that's the attitude we ought to have when we come into, and folks, business will pick up, and we can get things from God if we'll come into his presence and say, Lord, I want your will. Lord, just show me what your will is, and Lord, I'll do it. And when we bow before the Lord in prayer and approach his throne, we should say, if what I'm asking is not your will, Lord, would you help me to pray in your will? I know I used to pray when I've told you before, but when I first felt called to preach, I sort of asked the Lord to let me be pastor of the church out on Flat Top Mountain. They had the grand total of about 18, 19 in Sunday school. And see, I wanted out there where I wouldn't have to face many people. And I'd have me a little farm there and pastor that church and have me some fox dogs. And I thought, boy, that's sort of what I talked to the Lord about when I first started feeling called to preach. But I'm glad the Lord didn't give me that church out on Flat Top Mountain. Now, wouldn't that have been terrible if the Lord answered what I asked and given me the desires of my heart at that time, Brother Howard? See, the Lord's gracious, folks, a lot of times in not giving us what we ask. Oh, listen, if you got everything you asked for, you'd be hurting bad. You'd be hurting bad, and I would too. Maybe you had a good case of puppy love, and you said, Lord, I just got to have her. And if you'd have got her, that'd been the worst thing ever happened to you. I mean, you said, Lord, I just can't live without her. Brother, if you'd have got her, you couldn't live with her either. And so the Lord's gracious in not giving us everything that we ask for. And we need to get God's will, young people tonight. You need to get God's will in this matter of your life's mate. It would be, listen, young people, listen, you preacher now. It'd be better that you never, 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 never marry than to marry out of God's will. Now, you better not let that just go through one ear and out the other. That may be about the best advice anybody's ever given you in your life. Maybe you prayed for a home. Maybe you prayed for a job or something else and didn't get it. You know what you ought to do? You ought to thank God that you didn't get it. Because God, if he didn't give it to you, and if you'd have got it, you'd have been out of the will of God for your life, and therefore that would have been bad for you. So we should approach the throne of grace in complete submission and say, Lord, if I know my heart, I want to do your will. I know there's a great preacher here a few years ago. I was driving him back to the motel or the airport or whatever it was, and he wanted me to there's a couple, three good, big, huge churches opened up in America, and he wanted to recommend me to one of them. And I said, well, I want to do God's will, but I have no desire to leave Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And so I didn't want to, just because it was maybe run 500 more in Sunday school, this church, get out of God's will. I know tonight that I'm right where God wants me, standing right here preaching. I'd rather preach here than anywhere in America, anywhere in the world. I've got to preach down at Bob Jones University 5 times in 5 days before 6,000 or 7,000 people in December. I hope the rapture takes place before December, first week of December. You say, preacher, are you looking forward to it? Heavens, no, I'm not looking forward to it. If God don't help me, I'll be scared to death when I get up there. And so I don't know why I got off on that. But anyway, I want to be in God's will. Folks, we need a desire to be in God's will. And that's the attitude we ought to have when we come into his presence. And We ought to come into His presence with confident expectation. I mean, going to God's, turn over to Hebrews 11. That verse, Hebrews 11, 6, just a few pages there. A great verse, one of the great spiritual peak of the Word of God. Well, it's the entire chapter 11, but then 11:6 is a great verse. This, you ought to commit this verse to memory. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. What a great verse. I mean, come into His presence and believe that He is, and that He will reward you if you diligently seek Him. Jesus said, ask, over in Luke 11, 9 and 10. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You know, it's terrible for a drunkard walk down the street, or a bum walk down the street and tell you a lie. Make a promise and break that promise, isn't it? And tell you an outright lie. But you know, it's how shameful it is for us to approach the throne of grace in prayer and believe the Lord would go back on His promise and not hear and answer our prayers. And folks, God wants us to come into His presence and believing that He will hear and answer our prayers. So as we approach the throne of grace, we should come in faith believing that He will hear and that He will answer our prayers. As the psalmist says, what's that, Psalm 65:2, it just come across my mind while I was saying it. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. That's a great prayer verse, isn't it? O thou that hearest prayer, one of His names, thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Hey, reach over and pinch yourself. Are you? Don't pinch your neighbor now. Pinch yourself. Are you flesh? If you are, God will hear you and answer your prayer. That's what He promised. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. So we need to go into His presence believing that He will hear and answer prayer. And then we need to go into His presence and approach the throne of grace with a proper motivation. We should not pray out of just an insincere heart and just go into His presence with a prayer that you've memorized, or just now lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord's soul key, find out what I pray, so Lord, what soul key, something like that. I'm just going to fast. But now, I mean, that kind of pray. The Lord wants us to be sincere and just talk to Him not approach Him with insincere words, words that don't mean anything. I'm reminded of Billy Sunday. He's in a great crusade and had a man get up and pray. And that man wanted to show his stuff. And he kept praying, oh Lord, thou Lord of the universe, God of magnificent, holy, heavenly. I went on and on and on like that for about 6 or 8 minutes. And finally, Billy Sunday went up to the mic and he said, while this preacher finishes his praying, let's all stand and sing Amazing Grace. So that took care of the brother's prayer. And so we need to be careful about playing at prayer. And God wants us to be sincere and earnest in our praying. Now let's look at that word grace, a throne of grace. Now throne, when we think of the word throne, we think of power and majesty, don't we? When we think of throne. But when we come to the word grace, grace is a precious word. It's a gentle word. It's a soft word. And I thank God it's not a throne of law, but a throne of grace. A throne of grace. In the Old Testament, only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies on that day, one time a year, into the very presence of God at the mercy seat. But Brother, the Lord changed all that, and the veil was rent from top to bottom, and now we don't have to go into God's presence through somebody else. But brother, if we're saved, we can walk right on into God's presence our very selves. The word grace means unmerited favor. And because it is a throne of grace, He can overlook our words. We might not have, now some people can form beautiful words in their praying, and they can just pray the sweetest, nicest prayers. But you know what? The Lord, when we come with stammering, stuttering words, if we have a heart in it, God can honor that, can't He? And we don't have to make, you may not make a beautiful prayer, but listen, folks, if you come with a broken and a contrite heart, God says He would not despise that kind of prayer. A broken and a contrite heart, oh God, Thou will not despise. You know, you can do a lot of good praying, just come into God's presence, just break down, just cry, can't you? You ever come into God's presence like you just come into God's presence and say, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. And I'll tell you, then the Spirit can make intercession for you with groanings which cannot be uttered. And also, because it's a throne of grace, our sins and our failures will not shut out. Now, just stop and think about that. Now, it's a throne of grace now. It's an unmerited throne of unmerited favor. And because of that, our sins and our failures will not shut us out of the throne room. We come into God's presence in the name of Jesus, and the Father doesn't see our sins because He has clothed us in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's a throne of grace. That's enough to make you shout, isn't it? And because it's grace, I can come into His presence even though I don't deserve to come into His presence. And because it is a throne of grace, we can bring all of our sins and problems and heartaches, knowing that we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Look at verse 15, chapter 4, right above our text tonight. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He knows all about our problems. He knows all about your problems. He knows all about my problems. And one thing about it, you know, we may not understand each other. We may not even understand ourselves and our problems. But He understands, doesn't He? He understands. And He's promised grace and mercy to help us in a time of need. It's been about 25 years ago, I remember when there's a few, maybe four or five here tonight can remember that, down in the old church. I tell you, about a year or so after I got here, I went through a baptism of fire. And you know, when you go through problems, if you look to the Lord, you make a better Christian out of you. You're not worth shooting until you have some problems. You know that? I sort of feel sorry for you, Brother Preston, just starting in the ministry. Because you're going to have to go through some problems, but it'll make a man out of you. Make a man out of you. But we built this building over here. And then some dear people, and I have no ill will toward them, they decided they didn't want to come up here. In fact, there's a petition. I understand I never did see the petition. If I'd have found it, I'd have probably signed it to not come up here and to run the preacher off. I might have signed it if I could have found it. I understood there was one. I never did see it now. But I remember the morning that they were going to come to, they put it in the paper, they were going to vote where to come up to new church. Not, it's already built over here. I mean, the crazy thing is already stuck over here, folks, and they were going to vote where to come up here or not. And so, I mean, it wasn't, we can smile now, but it wasn't any smile in business that morning. And I remember the deacons went over in my front room over there, and boy, they'd we were weeping, and all of us were weeping and crying. I said, y'all go and start Sunday school, and I'll go over on the lake and pray. And I went over, and I didn't have to get in the spirit of prayer. I was in it when I got over there. And I walked up and down the lake, below the dam, praying. And then right before I had to come back, the Lord gave me Isaiah 43:2, for assured my soul. And God spoke, I'm not going to let, I see Schofield has headlined this, the chosen nation redeemed and restored. Mr. Schofield, you can put what you want to in your notes, but God meant verse 2 of Isaiah 50:43 for Gene Lashley, a Gentile. That's my verse there. I'm not going to let any Jew have that verse. God told me, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And I came on back and stood up down there and preached. And four adults came forward that morning. With all that crowd there they were, going to vote me out and Brother Al out as song leader, and vote not to come up to the new church. And I told them what Nashville had said over there, all actions, the builder and the bond people and the insurance company, three brothers. They got me on the phone hook up with their lawyers over there, and he said all the action be null and void. And so I told them that any action would be null and void this morning. And the deacons got around me and walked me out. And God took care of it. And listen, that was a real problem. But I have no hard feelings over it. Some of them are my good friends. And I just tell you all this to show you folks there that I went to a throne of grace in my time of need. And thank God he helped me. I found help at the throne of grace in my time of need. And I want you to learn. I want Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church to learn this. I don't know why I'm preaching on this tonight. God has them. Maybe you have a need. Somebody has a need here. And let me tell you, there's help, there's grace and help in a time of need at the throne of grace. There's help there. I've received help many times. And there is grace and help in the time of need at the throne of grace. Now, it is a throne of grace, but why is it a throne of grace? Well, first of all, it is a throne of grace by conquest. Jesus came down to earth, and our sins were placed on his back, and grace nailed it, our sin to the cross, and conquered sin once for all. So it's a throne of grace by conquest. It's a throne of grace by right. Christ paid all the believer's sin debt, and God would not be just if he did not save every believing sinner who would come to that throne of grace. Oh, it's our right. And Romans 3:26 says that God is just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And it's a throne of grace because of power. Grace sits on the throne. And this is the age of grace tonight, the church age, the age of grace. And because grace is on the throne, Jesus is able to save them who come unto God by him. That throne of grace, that's a wonderful thought tonight, the throne of grace. I heard a while back, a few years ago, preacher on the radio. He said he was in a Knoxville courtroom, and a young man pleaded guilty to a crime. And the judge said, I'm going to sentence you in 30 days. And some pleaded with the judge not to send him to prison, but to be lenient to him because it was a young man's first offense. And they met back in 30 days in that courtroom, and the judge brought the court into session, and the judge spoke, and the first word he said was, son. And that preacher said, As soon as he said that first word, he said, I knew the judge was going to be lenient on this boy. And the judge went on to say the boy showed a penitent spirit. And he said he was about 1 in 1,000. And he said, I'm not going to send you to the penitentiary. And this preacher said they were hugging and crying all over that courtroom because the judge showed grace and mercy and not justice. You know, that's what happened the night I got saved. The court of heaven convened and showed mercy instead of justice for Jesus' sake. And that's what happened if you were saved, brother. The court of heaven showed mercy towards you for Jesus' sake. And this is Wednesday night, and I know, but maybe if you're here tonight and on Wednesday night and you have never been saved, if you're not born again tonight, if you'll come down this aisle and get on your knees and come to a throne of grace and prayer and cry out to God for mercy, Jesus will show you mercy tonight. And you'll get grace instead of justice tonight. Maybe you're here now not even right with God. You need to come get right with God. Now, after a message like that, I want us just to bow our heads and I want to give people an opportunity. I don't usually give an invitation on Wednesday night, but after a message like that, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Just come on, please, to the piano and play maybe, or organ, both. I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender. And just a moment, we're going to just betting start playing softly. How many here tonight say, preacher, God's spoken to my heart tonight. The Lord's spoken to my heart. And God wants to show you mercy for Jesus' sake. You'll just come to that throne of grace. You can find mercy and help tonight. Having to say, preacher, God's spoken to my heart and I need prayer tonight. Just lift your hand. Anyone like that? Preacher, pray for me. I need God's help. I need God's help. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you are a Christian. You say, preacher, I need God's help tonight. Raise your hand. Someone like that? Preacher, that message is for me. I need God's help. Pray for me. Pray for me. One like that. Okay, you may look this way. Thank you for coming tonight. All the deacons just slip downstairs first. It won't take just 3 or 4 minutes and we can get, if all the deacons...